to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, we'll read some scripture there this morning. We've heard a lot of talk about freedom this week, and I don't ever remember a 4th of July week when we've heard more. I don't know if it's because of the remodeling of the Statue of Liberty, or maybe our economy's in such bad shape, and they're putting all these Made in America things out, you know, and returning back to national pride and that type of thing. But for whatever reason, we've heard a lot of talk this week and last couple of weeks about freedom. And I'm going to preach to you on that subject this morning, freedom. That song said, "Let freedom ring." I want to show you from the Bible this morning, what is freedom? What is real freedom? Of course, you know where to find out something like that is from Jesus Christ, the final authority on everything. And he said in John chapter 8, verse 32, look at it with me if you will. John chapter 8 and verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the government shall make you free." Uh-oh, somebody caught it there. I didn't read that right. Let's try that again. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now stop right there. They're having the same problem that we have in America today. They're saying, we're Abraham's children. What do you mean telling us we shall be free? We are free. Here were a bunch of people who thought they were free, but were not. They were actually in bondage. And you have to convince a man he's in jail before he wants to get out. A blind man has to know he is blind before he wants to see. And, of course, Jesus said in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," here's the bomb, "whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for loving us while we were yet in our sins, allowing your Son to die on a cross that we could be saved. Now, Lord, we realize this morning and know that we need your help. Without you, we're nothing. We're able to do nothing without you. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us. I want to yield myself to you right now as a vessel that you could flow through to help these folks. Lord, I don't know what the needs and the burdens and the difficulty and the problems and the heartaches that are here in front of me this morning, but I'm glad you do. I'm glad you're the author of liberty and the author of freedom. And I pray, Lord, this morning for be those here that are in bondage to sin, that they'd be set free by the grace of God this morning. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. Help us now, dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in a day when freedom is a very, very popular word. The young people are crying out, "Freedom! Give us our freedom!" The women's lib movement is hollering, "We want our freedom!" The gay people are hollering, "We want our freedom!" Blacks are hollering, "We want our freedom!" Spanish are hollering, "We want our freedom!" And the word freedom is very popular today. You hear political speeches and about rights and free this, and we're a free nation and we ought to be able to be free to express ourselves and free to do as we please and that type of thing, until it has become a very, very popular word. And like a lot of words, the word freedom has taken on a different meaning than what the word used to mean. In other words, when you say free in America now, people mean it's all right to have sex with anybody and take all the dope you want. That's not the meaning of the word freedom. It's like the word gay. You and I say gay nowadays, most people think you're talking about being queer. But what the word used to mean was happy. Now, the reason I'm talking plain is so you can understand me, okay? Yeah, I mean, you don't want me to fumble up with a bunch of words you can't understand. I talk plain so you know what I said. And you won't have to get a dictionary to find out what I meant when you get home, all right? That's good for you. That's the way it ought to be in church. And anyway, the word free nowadays does not mean what the word free used to mean. And I want to try to give you what the word freedom really means. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." People in a lot of people in jails today are free, and a lot of people walking up and down the streets are not free. People driving around in hot automobiles are more in bondage than some people in confinement in hospital rooms or rest homes, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil always talks backwards. And one of the things I've tried to show you here at this church, and I've always told you folks, is that the way you know the devil is in something is that it runs opposite from the way God wants it to run. God said, go this way. The devil says, go this way. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit. The devil says, eat the fruit. So you always know the devil is in something when it's twisted, when it's perverted, when it's opposite from what God would have you to think. Now, this is true in the meaning of the word freedom. A lot of people look at us out there, and they see us in here, you know, we got our Bibles, and we're up here singing, and they sit there, and they look at us, and they say, man, them Christians, they don't know what life is all about. We're free, we're cool, and we're hip, and we do what we want to do. And nothing seems any, if it wasn't so tragic, it'd be funny, than to see a guy walking down the road, and he's bent over about like this, got about 500 pounds on his back, wearing a pair of combat boots and a cowboy hat, you know. Hadn't had a bath in a week. And brother, I mean, smelled like he'd been dead for about three or four days. And living off potted meat and crackers. And just hitchhiking from one service station to another. And I get him in and set him down and start talking to him. And he don't want to be a Christian because he's, quote, free. I said, hey man, you're out here walking around with 1,000 pounds on your back and your hair's in your face. You can't even, your sweat's running down and everything. And you're telling me about being free. You're telling me about how wonderful it is to do your own thing. Listen, brother, things ain't always what they appear to be. And a lot of the people that are out here claiming to be free are more in bondage than a lot of people that are sitting on these church pews this morning. You see, they have the idea that we're a bunch of old religious fanatics who have to go by a bunch of rules, and we're miserable trying to hold out to the end, hoping God may have mercy on us and living our pie in the sky in the by and by somewhere. But actually, we have been set free from the bondage of sin that used to hold us, and we're free to worship God now the way the Lord wants us to. That's what freedom really is. The devil will make you think they're free and we're in bondage when the opposite is true. Real freedom is knowing Jesus Christ and knowing who He is and what He stands for. As I look around the world today, they see the Bible words come true. Jesus said, "He that committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now I'm over here and I commit a sin. Let's say my certain sin is money. Say all I think about is money. And you know, a lot of people are hooked on that nowadays. There's nothing sinful about a dollar bill in itself. The problem is when you get so hooked on it that it's all you think about. And a lot of people serve money. Do you know there's people in McDowell County, they can't even have a good night's sleep worrying about how much money they're going to make the next day? Ain't that a pitiful way to live? I mean, brother, they just go to sleep with dollar bill signs in their eyes, dream about it all night. Next day they wake up like their eyes are like cash registers. Man, when they open up their eyes, just those dollar bills start flashing, and they're out here trying to beat somebody out of this and beat some. Do you know anybody like that? I see a bunch of some heads nodding right now. You know what's the matter with those people? They are slaves. And they're slaves to their job and their income, and it's become a sin to them, and they will never be free as long as they live that way. You can't be free living for money all the time. Now, I know what you're sitting there thinking. Most of you sitting there thinking, now, Brother Danny, I'm not like that. All I'd just like to have $1 million, that's all. I've had them tell me, if I just won this sweepstakes, or I won this, I don't believe anybody wins them things, really. But you know, they're always sending you things in the mail and saying, you have been picked, you know, $1 million. And people just go all to pieces and get all excited. And the first thing they say is, if I won this, I'd pay off the church. I doubt that, really. I doubt that. You know how come I believe that? You know how come I don't believe you would? Because nobody else that's got $1 million ain't offered to pay it off. Money's got a way of doing something to you. It's got a way of changing you. The more you get, the more you want. And the reason poor people so happy is they ain't never had nothing, don't expect to, and they ain't planning on it. Man, they just get their bills paid from month to month. They can just lay right down and go to sleep. Them poor old millionaires, don't you feel sorry for them? They're pitiful. Now, I'm not joking, folks. They're pitiful. You're sitting there thinking, yeah, I bet if you had a chance. You know. Well, if somebody gave me $1 million, I'd take it. But by the help of God, I'd try to get rid of it. I'd want to get rid of it, wouldn't you? It's got a way of getting a hold of you. You become a slave to it. You ever heard the old saying, money talks? The only problem is it don't stay around long enough to hold a conversation. Somebody said, yeah, I believe money talks. Every time I get it, it says bye-bye. As it goes through your hand, brother, it's gone before you can get a good hold on it. But it's a very dangerous thing. It can get a hold of you. I've heard stories of this old fellow. I heard about one old boy who was getting ready to die, and he had all his money brought into his bedroom. And he's laying there on his deathbed, and he ordered everybody out of the room with a gun, had the doors locked and everything. And finally they come in, and there he laid, and had his hand, he's dead like this, and had his hand filled with $20 bills laying there deader than a mackerel. And boy, his nephew just reached over there and picked those $20 bills right out of his hand and stuck it in his pocket. You know what that means? You can't take it with you. You came into this world naked, and you're going out the same way. You ain't going to take a dime with you. Man, you can wrap it around you. You can put it in your casket. But where you're going, your money can't go. And I believe that's one of the greatest things that caused people to be in bondage today is money. Some people here in McDowell County spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like, and live their whole life being miserable trying to pay for something they never even needed to start with. That's a terrible way to have to live. You know what? We've got the place in America now where luxuries have become necessities. Now, I speak for myself, too. We was about to take a fit week before last when they wasn't going to get our air conditioner turned on. And people say, what are we going to do? Our air conditioner tore up. And you think that's really suffering nowadays. Somebody said the other day, they said, what are we going to do if we don't have no air conditioning? And I said, we're going to do what people done for 1,900 years before anybody had air conditioning. We'll fan ourselves. We'll swat flies. We'll leave a door open. We'll put a fan on. Listen, we've become to the place where luxuries have become, in our thinking, necessities. Somebody said, what's going to happen when gas gets so high we can't buy it? You'll look sweet up on the seat of a bicycle built for two. We'll do what people used to do before they had cars. Now I tell you what, long as I can afford it, I'm going to drive a car and sit in air conditioning, ain't you? But we need to get the place back in America where we don't let things control us. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, I thank the Lord for everything anybody gives. I appreciate lights. I appreciate air conditioning. But you can't get to the place where things control you, or you're not free if you have a boss over you. Not only that, but alcohol. 10 million alcoholics in the United States this morning. As I travel up and down the road and I meet young people, you know why there's alcoholics in the country today? Well, for one thing, we put it in our stores and made it look legal. And by doing that, we're saying to our young people, we approve of this. And every alcoholic who ever became an alcoholic always started out with one drink. I've heard somebody say, oh, well, I'm not going to be a drunk. I can take it or leave it. Man, it says that'll take it every chance he gets. I can't hear you. Y'all a little slow getting in there this morning. I want to tell you something this morning, brother. You talk about something that'll put you in bondage and enslave your life. Alcohol will do it. It will ruin you. Every time you take amount of alcohol into your body, you're taking a dangerous chance. Like Lenny Bias, when he took that cocaine and his heart stopped beating, they say that every time a young person puts cocaine in their body, they're taking the same chance he did, and you're doing the same thing with alcohol. It just don't kill you as quick. It's like wrapping a string around your finger. You can wrap a string around your fingers and break it. You wrap two strings around your fingers, it's a little bit harder to break. You wrap three strings around your fingers, that's every time you take a drink, you're wrapping another string around your fingers. And the first thing you know, you'll be sitting there and you'll be saying, oh, I can control it. I can quit anytime I want to. Oh, it's not my boss. I'm not an alcoholic. I just enjoy a social drink every once in a while. And your social drinks become more often. And the next thing you know, you've got a twine wrapped around your fingers. And the next thing you know, you're hooked. And then you don't want to admit it. And somebody comes along and says, well, you're an alcoholic. No, I'm not an alcoholic, because your perception of an alcoholic is a guy laying passed out in the gutter somewhere. But an alcoholic is somebody whose body is already addicted to alcohol, and you think about it every day, and you don't even feel right going to bed at night unless you've had a drink. And according to that, we've got teenagers in McDowell High School that are already alcoholics at 16 and 17 years old. What are these kids going to be like when they're 35 and 40? Well, you say, well, I wouldn't say they were alcoholics just because they drink every night to get a change. Let me tell you something. You know what will happen to you? First thing you know, you'll think, I sure do sleep better after I've had a little nip. And the next night you take you a little nip so you can sleep. And the next night you take a little nip so you can sleep. It might be Bud Dummer. It might be Miller Low Life. It might be NyQuil. I knew a guy got hooked on that stuff. You know, really? Man, you kill up all that stuff, it'll knock you out cold as a wedge. And just anything, shaving lotion, brother, British Sterling, radiator, I don't know what it might be, but every time that alcohol gets in your body, the next thing you know, you don't have none the next night, and you start thinking, I ain't got none. I can't sleep. I don't feel right. I feel nervous. You have become trapped in a spider web. And Jesus Christ said the truth is the only thing that'll make you free. Well, I was out visiting the other day, and I went to visit this one certain house, and this man came out of the house. It was a pitiful thing, because he was, I guess, in his 60s. And when he came out of the house, he came out like this. And he went over this way and kind of like this, and looked around like that at me. And I'd look at him right in the eyes, and his eyelids would kind of close like this. It just happened about 3 days ago, right over here in East Marion. And I looked at him, and his eyes would kind of get glassy, and then he'd, like he's trying to focus me in. And I began to talk to him. He said, well, blankety blank this, and he'd go, oh, didn't mean to cuss, preacher. And I thought, well, you know, it ain't. You ain't no use to tell me you're sorry. And he'd do that, and he'd cuss again. He'd say, and that poor fella. And I looked in, and I thought, inside that body is a man, folks. That's somebody's daddy. That's some mama's little boy. And now he's trapped. He's trapped. He told me, he said, I'm a drunk. And I said, but you don't have to stay that way, sir. The Lord can help you. You can quit that stuff. And if you don't, it's going to kill you. You know what alcohol do? It starts out when you're young. And you kids get up here and drive up and down the street, and they show you on TV, you see. TV, people on TV are hypocrites. They don't never show you the real truth. They always show you a guy going down the street, and he's got a fancy car, you know, and a pretty girl, and he's got his hand around a beer, you know, and it's, don't say beer, say bull, you know, the football players come in, and the weightlifters, and they say, give me one. They never show you the true picture. They never show you the guy 10 years later when he's in an alcoholic's place somewhere, beating his head on the floor, can't remember his name, got the nervous tremors, his wife having to go get a job his kid's doing without. They're hypocrites. They won't show you that it gets you in bondage. That's not freedom. Not freedom. You say, are you free this morning? Absolutely. Alcohol ain't got me. See that? I never had to have a drink to get up. I never had to have one to go to sleep last night. And I didn't have a hangover this morning. You can be set free from that stuff if you'll turn it over to the Lord. It'll kill you. And then, of course, you look at the drug scene. It's not a pretty picture. As I said last week, since that basketball player died, that bias boy died the other day because of cocaine, I think I heard Paul Harvey say the cocaine hotline had been ringing off the hook. 2,000 calls a day for kids wondering what cocaine would do to them. They say marijuana is not habit forming, but I can stand you up boys in this church right now that tell me they had to have it every day before they got saved. We've got people here in this church that were heavy drug users before they got saved. I could just start going around here picking them out and having them stand up. I mean, brother, their life was wasted away. Couldn't even think. Couldn't make rational decisions. You know why? Because drugs don't set you free. They put you in bondage. They don't liberate you. They box you in. That's the devil's lie, is to get you to think they do you good. People on kids on angel dust jump out windows and bust their brains out. Murder their relatives. When they come to in jail for murder, don't even know what they've done to be put in prison. I want to say something or two about freedom here just a minute before I hush. As I thought about this week about American freedom and the United States and how glad I am to be able to live here, I thought about several things. And I heard a song that reminded me of this, and I thought there's a great comparison between our freedom as Americans and our freedom as Christians. The first one is, somebody shed their blood so we could have our American freedom. Our forefathers and those who fought in bloody battlefields, many of them let their blood run out. I heard about the men who, 50-some odd men, who signed the Declaration of Independence. And many of them had their houses taken away from them and lost their stocks and their farms and their livestock. And they lost their jobs and their families. And many of them who were millionaires were reduced to paupers after that Declaration of Independence. And even John Hancock, who put his name on there, said, "Our freedom is more important." That liberty was bought with a price. And some of them shed their blood so me and you could just set up a building like this and build churches and preach the Bible and worship God like we ought to, like the Lord wants us to worship Him. I want to say this morning also, somebody's blood was shed so that you could have freedom from sin. And His name was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God looked down from heaven and He saw us down here walking around. He saw the alcoholics. He saw the drug addicts. He saw the prostitutes. He saw the self-righteous people. He saw the gossipers. He saw the immoral people. He saw the adulterers and the drug dealers and the money-holics and the alcoholics. And He said, the only hope they've got is someone's blood being shed for them, and allowed His Son to come down and drip blood from Calvary to set me and you free from our sins. Not only that, but when the United States had the Declaration of Independence signed, they said, "We're declared free." Amen? In other words, they had to make a declaration. They said, "We are a free nation." Free enterprise. Go out here and build you a house. Raise you a garden. Make all the money you want to. Have a bigger family as you want to. Join any church you want to. You're declared free. You know what happened to me when I got saved in April of 1972 at Nebo Baptist Church? The Lord Jesus Christ up there in heaven wrote down, "Declared me free." You know what I'd done before I got saved? I tried to quit cussing and couldn't. I was always afraid I'd slip up and say one in front of Mom and Dad. And me and these bunch of boys I always played ball with, we'd get together and one of them said, "Man, we're going to have to quit this talk. We're getting worse and worse and worse and worse." And I wasn't, you know, like 16 years old. And we said, "All right, we're going to quit. Nobody's going to say a cuss word all day." We got out there in the sun shining. Hey, fall over here. Wow, somebody elbow right in the oh. In a few minutes, hop. Oh. In a few minutes, up. Oh. In a few minutes, yoop. And somebody, why, fall. And it went on like that for a while, and I finally got tired of that. And you know what was wrong with that? I still had all that cuss in my heart, and it's coming in here. I mean, you know you can't vomit if you ain't got nothing in you. You get the dry heaves, man. Nothing can't come out if there ain't nothing in there. Now, I know this is a nice, big, downtown Baptist church. You ain't supposed to talk like that. So next time I'll say puke so you won't get religious on me. All right, here's what happened. That cuss was down in my heart. It came in here and come out and was and up my throat and was almost ready to come out my mouth. And I stopped it. Listen, if it comes that far, you might as well just let it on out. I kind of worry about these Christians that's always, every time they hit their thumb with a hammer or something, they always go, hoop, hoop, hoop. I want most cuss. If you ain't got no cuss in you, ain't no cuss going to come out of your mouth. Now, the reason cuss comes out your mouth is because you got a dirty heart. Amen. And I couldn't quit. And you know what? When the Lord saved me, I had them old cuss strings tied on me. I was in bondage to them. I couldn't. I wanted to get away, and I couldn't. And the night I got saved, he took scissors and went. And I ain't had no problem with that since. Ain't that wild? That's the truth. It sets you free. And now when we're out playing ball, and boy, somebody throws one, somebody does something good, I go, amen. Glory. You know, something like that. You know, it's just what's inside. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Was down to here, and his beard was down to here. You couldn't tell the front from the back. Really, man, I'm telling you the truth, brother. He looked like a troll. On drugs, tried to quit, couldn't quit, in trouble. He and his Melanie was having problems, of course. Oh, I use him for example because I know he don't care. And brother, that's been what, six years ago now, and he ain't done no dope since, have you? Not a bit. Now, don't say Danny Castle brainwashed him. Because I went over and tried to talk to him, and I talked to him, I was blue in the face, and it never done a bit of good. He'd sit there, and he was watching a baseball game. He lived out there in a trailer park in West Marion, and he'd be sitting there watching a baseball game like this. And here I'd be sitting over there, and I'd say, now, Steve, do you want to come to church Sunday? He'd say, I might. I mean, he had me tuned out, brother. I couldn't do a thing with him. And she couldn't either. And none of the other friends here couldn't either. But something happened on the backside of Lake James early one Monday morning. Old Steve been down there. Boy, he got down there, got down on his knees and said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner! God changed me! And, brother, you look at him now! That's what freedom is! You know what a bunch of people nowadays are running around America? Man, they got goat tails down their back. Their hair is shaved. Got 666 wrote on their side of their head somewhere. And they got earrings in their ears. And they're going around saying, we want to be free, man, like wow, man. Now, what they mean is they want to rape your children and not be punished for it. That's what they mean. They mean you ought to let somebody with AIDS come in and take over your Sunday school class. That is not freedom! Freedom is not the right to do as you please, but the liberty to do as you ought. You see, freedom don't mean you can just go out here and kill somebody and everything will say, well, I'm free, I'm an American. No, man, your freedom ends where my nose begins. If you want to get out here and run around in a circle, that's your business. But if you run over my kids, that's not freedom. Freedom is the liberty to do as you ought to do, not the right to do anything you please. Even when we're saved, even after you're saved, that don't give you a right to just do anything you please. The Lord sets you free and He puts you in a circle called the Christian life, and you're free just to run around in that circle and whoop-de-doo, do anything you want to do in the circle. Like cows out in the pasture, they're free. If they'd just forget that fence was there, they could have a good time.
Man, they got that whole big pasture, run around in, kick up their heels, do anything. That's the way your freedom is, brother. There's limitations on it until the Lord takes us home. And then when you get to heaven, you can just run for 1,000,000 miles, do gainers, turn flips, do anything you want to do. Another thing about our freedom is the United States is the greatest liberty on earth. I may be getting more patriotic in my older years, but I tell you what, I can't stand flag burning. I can't stand bumper stickers that say down with Reagan and the United States government and nuclear arms. Now, I'm not for war, but I got enough sense to know that you don't make deals with atheists. You know what? A lot of people are dumb enough to think, because I don't know if they're really dumb enough or they think we're dumb enough to believe it. They think if we tell Russia, now Russia, we're not going to make any more bombs. We're going to get rid of all our guns. We're going to take them away from our citizens, if you will. And Russia's going to say, yeah, we will. These people in America are so stupid that they really believe stuff like that. And Jane Fonda and Ted Kennedy or whoever running around saying, no, listen, man, there's been more people killed in Kennedy's car than they have by nuclear war. You say, I don't think a preacher ought to say that. Well, if you ever preach, don't say it. That's a blessing about being an independent Baptist preacher. You can say whatever you want to say. And I'm telling you this morning, that is not free. Listen, brother, I don't want our country sold down the drain to communism. I don't want us to say, all right, you come in and take over us so we can all drive Cadillacs. Or so we'll all share and share alike. Liberty is, there's a price to be paid. Somebody said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Your liberty was bought at a certain time, and you have to keep up paying that price to keep that liberty. In the same way about in Jesus Christ. When you're saved, the Lord sets you free from sin. And you have to live right and serve Him and do it to keep from sin taking over you and becoming in bondage to sin again. I know I've maybe hit a few nerves this morning, but that's good for you. Don't give me this stuff about sin being good. That old fellow, he's drunk, you know, and the preacher come up and told him, he said, now that's your enemy, buddy. You better throw that bottle down. That's your enemies. And the old drunk said, yeah, but the Bible said, love your enemies. And the preacher said, yeah, but it didn't say swallow them. You know, a lot of people know just enough scripture to ruin them. You know that? Every drunk in town knows that scripture says, drink a little wine for your stomach. You said it said a little, didn't it? 3 bottles a day, you know. And that's for a sickness. That ain't to make you feel good. But the truth is this, friend. Real freedom is found in serving Jesus. If you're here this morning, this may be the first time you've ever been here. I don't know. If God spoke to your heart, and you say, I'm in bondage to sin, I want to be set free, you ought to get set free this morning. Let's stand and bow our heads. Now, I tell you what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to let you go. Every head bowed, every eye closed. While the pianist plays softly this morning, maybe there's somebody here who says, preacher, when you was talking about being in bondage, I thought of my sin. Maybe it's pornography. Huh? You can get just as hooked on pornography as you can LSD or heroin. And it's just as damning. Liquor. What is it? What is it? An immoral relationship. Maybe somebody here is running around on your wife or running around on your husband. Do you know that's something that'll get you hooked? Did you know you're in bondage and need to be set free? Now we're going to wait just a few minutes while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank God for speaking to hearts. One's come already. Maybe there's somebody else that needs to come. There may be somebody here in this congregation that says, preacher, I don't want to wind up hooked. I don't want to wind up enslaved I'm coming to the altar this morning. All right, somebody else. Somebody else. Some of you ladies come pray with these girls. Is God speaking to your heart this morning, friend? Is He? Is He? Is God speaking to your heart this morning? You can be set free, just like Steve was. Just like these other boys were. You can be set free. Maybe the Lord's dealt with your heart. You say, "Preacher, what am I going to do?" The Lord said, "You know the truth. The truth's what'll make you free." It's got nothing to do with whether or not you like me or this church. It's the truth is what'll set you free. The truth. May God help you to make that step. Don't be ashamed. It'll be a lot more embarrassing than this one day when you're at the judgment. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that You'd bless these that are on the altar. I don't know what their need is, but You do, and I'm glad You do. And our Father, this morning, I pray that You'd take these words of freedom, let them ring in our heart. God, I'm glad this morning we've been set free to live like You want us to live. I'm glad we're not in bondage to foreign countries, and I'm glad we're not in bondage to sin. Lord, You said for us not to let sin have dominion over us. Lord, I hope that we can all live that way, and I pray we would. I pray for that one of those here this morning who's confused and struggling, and God, they don't know which way's right. They've heard so many different preachers and been to so many different churches. Their mind's all messed up, Lord, and they don't know which way to turn. God, help them to see the truth this morning. Open their eyes. Open hearts. Touch homes. Wives and husbands and boys and girls. For all those that are in bondage all over McDowell County this morning, God, liberate them, we pray. We'll thank You. Praise You for all You do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll wait just a moment while these are still praying. Without any singing, we'll wait just a moment. Amen. A real God, a real heaven, a real judgment that we'll stand in front of one day. Just as sure as you live, the day will come and we'll stand before God. Amen. 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 While these are finishing, I want you to remember the service tonight. Now, we're going to have something real unusual tonight. Something everybody here ought to come and hear. We're going to have a bunch of preachers preach. 5 minutes each. About 10 of them here, probably. And they're going to be preaching. Some of them just been preaching just a few weeks or months. And it would do good to broaden your intellect. And bless your soul if you'd come tonight. They'll be preaching 5-minute sermons, and I'm really looking forward to it. You come. If you've never been to service like this, you ought to come. You'd enjoy it. That's tonight. We've done this the last 2 or 3 years at the 4th of July week. And so be here at prayer room 15 minutes till 7. Amen. All right. We're going to be dismissed in word of prayer. After this, shake hands one another, and you'll be at liberty to go. Brother Bruce Ward, would you dismiss us?